Hey, Bears fans, this is Cole Wright from Marquee Sports Network. Now, we know you can never get enough Bears, so join us Tuesday for Bear Essentials, a recap of this week's Bears action and analysis of the week ahead. Then, we'll re-air this week's Bears game at 7 o'clock on Marquee Sports Network.
Live from the First Midwest Bank State Street Studio,
Chicago's new home of the White Sox.
ESPN 1000, WMVP Chicago.
Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Read an article from Dan Pompey, Hall of Fame writer, lives in this city, writes for The Athletic. Did you read this article, Waddle?
I read the whole thing. All of Dan's stuff. He's great.
I even commented on his Facebook page. I go, Dan, this, like, all the stuff you write is really, really great. This was really... I love the outside-the-box approach because the Bears, here we are again. As many teams are getting set for a championship weekend. Up north, of course, they're getting ready for another championship weekend, just like last week. Or last year, I should say. They lost, but... they're getting ready for another one.
Back-to-back trips to the NFC title game. Remember when everyone said Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers, they don't get along. This is going to be a disaster.
Yeah, and Rodgers, do you believe what Boyle said to us, too, in the text chain about drafting Jordan Love? That because I was commenting again about their hodgepodge of number two receivers. They're like all the same dudes.
It is unbelievable.
They're just the same dudes. They throw them into like, hey, you could be a number two. You could be a number two. You could be a number two. You've had the Scantling. Come on down. Who are some of the other guys on that team?
Equanimeous St. Brown.
Right. And there was another one who had a pretty good game. Alan Lazard. And like, so, but he said... at least it motivated Rodgers. My question to you guys is, if they didn't draft Jordan Love, would Aaron Rodgers have had an MVP-type year this year?
I don't think Aaron Rodgers lacks motivation. Like last year, I mean, I'm looking at Aaron's stats from last year. Again, last year, they were in the NFC title game.
Right. Right. Now, he didn't have wow numbers,
didn't have
remember?
A great year last year. But last year, he threw for 4,000 yards, 26 touchdowns. And four interceptions.
Yeah, that's time to draft a quarterback in Green Bay.
Yeah.
That's a celebration here in Chicago.
Oh, gosh, yes.
You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, it would be a celebration because no quarterback here in the history of our franchise has thrown for 4,000 yards.
None. The only team in the league. It was tweeted again this weekend by Dove Kleinman who tweeted that out. So this is an article from Dan Pompey as all these teams. Brady's getting set for another championship game. Josh Allen's one of the most improved players in the league, and even that tortured fan base is in the AFC championship game. And then KC is hoping to repeat. They're back. We're getting ready for another quarterback search. That happens more than the playoff appearances, right? We have had tons more quarterback searches than playoff wins for sure in the last 20 plus years.
Yeah.
Because there's been only three wins. There's been many quarterback searches. So he came out with the article on The Athletic, and the headline reads, Extreme Bears Quarterback Makeover, a five-step plan for overhauling the position. And number one is, forget the way it's been done for 100 years. And basically, he goes through all the, quote, quick fixes. Trading for a highly regarded quarterback to be the starter, he says, is initially popular, but ultimately regrettable. So he
doesn't work very often.
Right. He says there are exceptions, like Deshaun Watson would be one, and he says it's worth exploring.
Well, you had Brett Favre, right? Am I right that you had a trade?
Brett Favre's one from Atlanta, right?
What else would fall into that category? I think Dan listed them all. I mean, there was others, but go ahead.
And so then he said, like the rehab quarterback, where you're getting a quarterback
like who, Ryan Tannehill,
right? This is the Brett Favre thing. He says trading for a quarterback who has struggled could have more merit, even though it's usually not as well received. See Ryan Tannehill, Brett Favre, Doug Williams, Jim Plunkett.
Mm-hmm.
So he brings that up, and then he brings up trading up, and he says trading up usually isn't one. He says most of the teams who've traded up, I think it's like a 27% success rate. All right, so he goes through all that and basically just sums up, and this isn't really one where he gives you a clearly defined answer, but it's basically like forget what you've done in the past. Number two, I think this is an interesting one. I want to get your thoughts on it. Form a quarterback evaluation team. He says maybe someone like Jordan Palmer, who trains a bunch of quarterbacks, and he gave you a couple of other guys who train quarterbacks. You know, these
Jeff
guys.
Christensen.
Yes, he's Jeff Christensen. A well-regarded third-party quarterback tutors or an old quarterback coach like Norv Turner or Brad Childress. These people should be full-time quarterback evaluators with no other responsibilities. They should evaluate high school quarterbacks, college quarterbacks, and pro quarterbacks, and know all there is to know about every quarterback in the country.
I buy that.
I think that's fantastic. Like, we've talked about the Bulls developing their player development. Like, that's pennies on the dollar.
Oh, yeah. None of what Dan suggested will do anything significant to your bottom line.
He says hire a consultant who is a former general manager with a track record of success with quarterbacks, whether it's a guy like Ron Wolf, who used to run the Packers, Mike Holmgren, someone like that.
You also, the one name that you brought up that I think is a wise name is Mike Shanahan.
Yes. Why not? Why not? And he says these guys are person that you hire. He's not on the active coaching staff, but he's on your staff, and he is your quarterback guru. He is always scouting quarterbacks. He's going from practice to practice. He's knowing who the up-and-coming quarterbacks are. So then when you need a quarterback, you don't have to do all this homework. You've had the homework done by one of the foremost experts in the game.
I trust Mike Shanahan's thoughts on quarterbacks more than Ryan Pace. So if you could find Mike Shanahan, well, I'm just using him as an example. If you could find a way to get Mike Shanahan involved and he would agree to a role in a manner in which Dan described it, I don't know how. What's it cost you? It costs you money. $1 million?
Yeah, it's nothing
against the
cap. $1 million
is a lot of money, I get it. But in the grand scheme of a $3 billion asset.
When you haven't had a quarterback in how many years now? A star quarterback?
Right.
And these teams go from one stud to another like that. They just like you watch this, guys. You watch this. The New Orleans Saints, who got it right with Drew Brees, they're going to flip Drew Brees this offseason, and they're going to get it right sooner than the Bears get it right. You watch. They're going to go from Drew Brees to another star quarterback quicker than the Bears can find their star quarterback.
I'd bet on that as opposed to against that.
Number three from Pompey. Draft a quarterback, then draft another, and another, and another. Says a quarterback should be drafted every year, no matter what. No excuses. There are going to be misses. It's the nature of quarterback evaluation. No one ever gets them all right or close to it. But casting a wide net is going to bring in the occasional keeper along with the throwbacks. And he says, never draft a quarterback because you need one. That's how you end up with Cade McNown and Rex Grossman. In a proficient draft room, there is no place for desperation. The Patriots drafted Brady when they already had Drew Bledsoe. The Packers drafted Aaron Rodgers when they already had Brett Favre. So he talks about that. That's item number three. Number four, and this is something that drives me crazy, that I've always said to you, why can't you do more? And he says, devote more roster spots to quarterbacks. And he talks about how there are only two quarterbacks on the 53-man roster. Think about that. You have 51 other roster spots. Why are you so sacred with your positions of quarterbacks? Like, why are the Bears wasting a quarterback spot on Tyler Bray for some game days? Why aren't they developing one on the active roster?
I think that one of the things that he writes that really sticks with me is any quarterback released by another team should be brought in for a workout or an interview and an evaluation. Especially, like, he is talking from the perspective of an organization that's never gotten the position right.
Right.
He's not, like, I mean, he's not telling you that a team that successfully finds quarterbacks going to have to follow all of these steps because those teams have a formula that works.
This is for the Bears specifically. Right. Extreme, he calls him extreme. Extreme Bears quarterback makeover, a five-step plan for overhauling the position. And this is what's driven me crazy about, like, the Cam Newton debate last year. I always thought they should go get Cam Newton, right? You couldn't evaluate him. It was during COVID, and I know he didn't end up turning out. But so what? Why couldn't the Bears brought in 13 damn kickers? Why can't you sign guys to minimal contracts with built-in incentives if they win your job and bring in five or six of them? Next year, bring in Jameis Winston. Next year, bring in another buy-low guy. Bring in five of them with the chance to win the job. When you tell me there aren't enough reps, I think you're doing it wrong. Create more reps.
Well, you're
create
not,
another field where you could see other quarterbacks work under your system.
Well, you there's a balance here, though. I mean, yes, in theory that works, but Jameis Winston, Cam Newton, and Andy Dalton are all not going to sign with you because they're all because they all want an opportunity to start somewhere.
But that could be here. And if you have to cut him, so be it. If you have to eat $2 million because you've tried on a guy and you failed, it's better than giving up a fourth-round draft pick and a three-year guaranteed deal to Nick Foles. If it all doesn't work, like you say, why can't they bring in more? Why can't you bring in four or five different quarterbacks?
You can, but it's again, if you've got guys that think that they're competing for a spot, guys aren't going to go to a place where there's a plethora of guys competing for the same. Because some guys would argue that they're not going to get the reps. They're not going to get enough reps to show you what they can do.
Right, but Andy Dalton went to Dallas to back up Dak Prescott specifically. If you would have said to Andy Dalton, come compete to be our starter, then maybe they sign with, then if they do win the job, then their incentives kick in. If they don't, you can cut them and you lose, what, $1 or $2 million? Big deal.
Right, but Andy Dalton would say, well, I just gave you 4 months and you cut me where I would have had a better opportunity somewhere else. I just don't think it's as easy as that. And maybe this works with younger guys more than it does 34-year-old backups or guys that have already had their spin in the league.
My point is, like he says, the more the merrier. You don't need to make this a carnival like Augusta Silence was with the kickers. But damn it, like two quarterbacks on a 53-man roster?
Yeah,
why?
I agree with that.
Why? And then he talks about, and this is so important, number five, is form a quarterback development team. And it just goes into, you know, this whole thing like we mentioned with the Bulls. There should be a staff strictly assigned to quarterbacks. And again, he brought up Mike Holmgren here.
Well, I would say
guys like that.
Here in Chicago, you had who was the direct quarterback coach? Who was the passing game coordinator?
Dave Ragone.
Yeah, Dave Ragone. You had Matt Nagy, who's a quarterback guy, former quarterback. You got Lazor, you got Flip. I mean, for the love of everything good and pure in this world, they had pretty much a quarterback team up there this year.
But I think what he's saying is all those guys are game day coaches. They're all current. They're putting all their efforts into winning a game and to preparing the starter to be ready. Like, shouldn't you have guys on the staff who are quarterback experts whose strictly job is, not game planning, is getting reps to the backup, going through stuff with the backups, working with the backups strictly where their time isn't a constraint, where you're developing a young guy instead of having another coach on the team like Tyler Bray?
Yeah, you could have a young quarterback coach where he's dealing with the guys that aren't getting any reps in when the ones get together and you've installed the game plan and those guys are out there practicing Wednesday and Thursday, you could have another coach who's on the side working with your young quarterbacks in other areas.
That's right. Why not? The more, again, they're extreme. These are all extreme. But the Bears are in an extreme situation. Here we are again. Mitch isn't going to probably be here. Nick Foles is, what is Nick Foles? And then how are we going to get a quarterback at number 20? Who are they going to trade for? Who are they going to sign? Could they draft somebody? This is a franchise that has consistently gotten it wrong. And I thought Pompey put something out there that was, it was a little bit off the beaten path, but I think good.
Well, think about what Ryan Pace said when he was here. Didn't he say he was going to draft a quarterback every year?
And then in the first two or three, he did not.
He didn't. He's only drafted one, right?
Right.
In 6 years.
Right. Yep. Yep. And the first two years, he did not.
Yeah.
And then he put it all in Mitch Trubisky and hasn't drafted one since. 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. What do you think as we get set to watch Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers and Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes? How the hell are the Bears going to answer this question? You had one writer who's been in the business forever give you some ideas. What are yours? We'll take some calls, and Mark Gingreco celebrates a Victory Tuesday in a few minutes.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
We're reading the article in The Athletic about how some kind of out-of-the-box thinking on how to change what the Bears' quarterback situation is.
The sad reality is a lot of that stuff isn't really out of the box. It's just quarterback thinking. I'm not minimizing. I mean, Dan's work is fantastic, but, like, you should always be prioritizing the quarterback position, and I think the emphasis of what Dan is saying is whatever it is that they've been doing, either you're not emphasizing the right things or you're not doing the right stuff.
And then you never know. You could always trade a quarterback if you've already landed a quarterback and you keep drafting him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Teams have done that to continue to just bring in more assets by just saying, hey, that's fine, we'll take another quarterback. You never know what's going to happen. Joseph in Chesterton, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Joseph?
Hey, guys. So I am excited to see how Josh Allen plays this Sunday, considering how bad he was perceived by the media last year, and then what happens when an organization decides we're going to build around a young quarterback and trade for a all-star caliber wide receiver and Stephon Diggs. That's why I feel like the organization missed on Mitch. They signed Robinson, great, but then they trade two number one to get Mac, which I like, but, I mean, you're trying to help your young quarterback. So be that as it may. We all know the narrative. You know, they pass up on Mahomes and Watson to draft Mitch, and there's no guarantee of how Mahomes or Watson would play in Chicago anyway. So
they'd be better.
So my question is, what happens if, let's say, Trubisky goes to a team like the Rams, who McVay said that Goff is they're going to evaluate the position. There's no guarantee that Goff will be the quarterback. So let's say he goes there, and let's say, you know, hypothetically, wins a couple Super Bowls, Trubisky does, and the Bears still can't find a receiver. My other point is I'm going to make is, we're talking about that the Bears never had a 4,000-yard passer, but here's the thing. In this era of the NFL, I look at total yards, and in 14 starts in 2018, Mitch had a 3,800 total yards and 27 total touchdowns. So it's like you can't pass for 4,000 yards if you run for 1,000 of those yards. You see what I'm saying?
But he didn't run for 1,000 yards.
Right. He ran for about almost 500 yards.
That's half. So, like, if I said to you, Joseph, here's 100 grand or 50 grand, I mean, we'll both take it, but there's a big difference between 100 grand and 50 grand. So when you say to me you can't, you know, 1,000 yards versus 500 yards, it's half.
Right, of course. But remember how many games you played. It's 14 games. Now, I know the saying is your best ability is availability, but, you know, it's like...
You're a truther, aren't you? You're a truther.
No, I love the leap that Joseph took to. He's like, let's say Trubisky hypothetically.
Time out. He didn't have 500 yards. He had 421 yards.
That's rounding up.
In that case, you round down. This is what my wife does to me. I say, hey, what's in the bag? Oh, I bought some stuff over at Nordstrom's Rack. And I go, how much was it? She goes, $200. It was $294.
You round up. You tell me
it's 300, not 200.
But she went to Nordstrom Rack. Imagine what that would have been if she went to regular Nordstrom.
Focus on the point. I get what you're saying.
The best part is
Joseph rounded up to 500 from 421.
Joseph also went from the leap of Trubisky going and winning the job to, I don't know, let's say hypothetically wins two Super Bowls.
Come on, Joseph. Come on.
All I'm saying is that what would be the narrative if even Mitch has a better career elsewhere? How would that look on the organization?
It'll look horrible. And you've heard all of us say over the course of the last 2 years, we don't think they've done him any favors. But just because the guys around him haven't done him any favors doesn't elevate him to being a guy that you think ultimately can take you to where you want to go. If you believe he can take you to where you want to go, that's fantastic. I just don't share that. And I'm not trying to convince you otherwise. They needed to do more to help him. There's no question. But they, I don't know. Those are two conversations.
Michael in Norwood Park, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Michael?
Hey, guys. How you doing? I'm a Bears fan, but I also lived in Jacksonville for a few years, so I follow that team pretty in-depth. And it was just kind of eye-opening when I listened to Urban Meyer's press conference, and we're talking about structuring a football team. And Shad Khan, the owner, said something pretty enlightening. He's like, this team will be a coach-centric team. The head coach and the general manager, they're going to report to me because we did it the other way around. And that was when Tom Coughlin was executive vice president. Then they had Caldwell as a GM, and they had a coach. And he's like, there was such a lack of transparency there, and it, like, a lot of things fell through the crack. I just want to get your thoughts on that kind of philosophy. Like, the head coach and the general manager is not ahead of the head coach. They both report to the owner. And I know we have that issue with Phillips kind of in the middle. I just want to get your thoughts on that, because I thought it was pretty eye-opening, and I think it's really a good strategy to go forward. Well, they have Urban Meyer, so he probably forced that. But anyway,
yeah, I think, but you know what, Mike? You can't have your GM and your coach pulling on opposite ends of the rope. Now, again, like, we had a couple of giggles last week when the concept of collaboration became part of the discussion. I'm all for collaboration, the same way that I am all for conviction. But competence also has to be at the center of both of those words. Like, you can collaborate all you want and make bad decisions together. Or you can collaborate, be on the same page, and you make good decisions. Like, I don't think you can have a healthy environment. What you want is, I think, is a dissenting voice at times, because I think that breeds creativity.
Right, you have to challenge each other.
You challenge each other, but at the end of the day, you have to be able to work together. So, I mean, I don't think it's even a fine line. I think you have to have guys that work well together to be successful. I think the general manager job, I think the head coaching job, it's too much. One guy can't have both hats.
Before we get to Marky, Ed and Gurney, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I got 2 points. First, I've heard you guys talk about you got to draft quarterbacks from later rounds and develop them. But that's just not what happens in the NFL. It's rare. Every year, quarterbacks are taken after the first round. They don't pan out. The reality in the NFL is, if you don't draft a quarterback in the first round, you're probably not going to find an NFL caliber starter or one that can take you to the Super Bowl. That's just the facts. So maybe the Bears this year, with their I think the 20th pick, can get that quarterback, but they haven't had enough They still can miss on Mitch, and if you don't have first-round picks, you're not going to find that quarterback.
You're right. I mean, it makes it harder. There's no doubt about that, Ed. I mean, I think most of the top quarterbacks in the league are guys that are first-round picks. You will have guys that fall outside those boundaries. Obviously, Russell Wilson is one of those guys. Tom Brady's probably the greatest example of that. Joe Montana back in the day was a third-round pick. But you are right. The majority of standout top-line quarterbacks in the NFL are former first-round picks.
All right. Marky is getting into the First Midwest Bank studio. It's a Victory Tuesday for him. See, but that's okay.
No, it is, except when he's spraying it up your nose.
We'll get to Marky. And also, not only will he have a chance to do some crowing about his Bills, but I do believe there could be another news trash-talking war on the horizon. And let's see if we could fuel that fire coming up next with Mark.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
You saw a guy in the South Loop jumping onto a portable table. It was Mark Jean Greco.
Yeah.
Over the weekend.
He was all stressed out. They were up 17-3, I believe, at the time.
With their backup quarterback,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
With just a few minutes left. But, you know, it never over till it's over. Come on. You know, my brother actually smashed the table.
I saw that.
Yeah, did you see it on Facebook?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so
You sent it to us.
Yeah, I sent it to you guys. Yeah. I didn't post it because I'm thinking maybe he doesn't want to post it. He puts it out there to the entire universe.
So what did he do in his backyard, Mark?
Yeah, he had a folding table set up in his backyard, and he got a big ladder, like a, you know, step ladder.
Yeah.
And he got up on top and just dove and smashed it. But as my producer, Mike Johnson, pointed out, being the producer that he is, he goes, let's take a look at that video again. It looks like the table was already cracked.
Oh, really?
It looked like it was pre-broken.
Yeah.
But
so then he didn't hurt himself.
Yeah, exactly. It's WWE. Just like you had the razor blades in your fingers.
Yeah.
And you cut yourself. You start bleeding. But he said, no, it's just that the thing wasn't opened all the way, you know, because it's a portable folding table.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. He's been a crash test dummy his whole life. He's insane.
How does that take off, Mark? Where does that come from? Where they say, you know what's cool? I'm really drunk. The Bills just won. I'm going to jump off a table. Then everyone goes, you know what? That was cool. We're going to all start doing that.
That's exactly how it started in the grass lot around the stadium, tailgating. Get hammered. You're cooking sausage. You got wings. You got beef on wick. And
what time out. You have what?
Beef on wick.
What is that?
It's roast beef sliced in its own juice.
Yeah.
On a hard roll, a Kimmel wick roll, which is sesame seeds and salt on top. Mm. So it's beef on wick with a little horseradish.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So then you got your wings, you know. And then, you know.
You want to get in your car and drive back to Buffalo.
But then you
right
also
now,
have
you?
Ted's Red Hots, the foot-long char dogs. So that's the Buffalo trilogy right there. So when you get off your plane and you leave the airport, you go to Charlie the Butcher's and get the beef on wick. Then you go by the Peace Bridge to Ted's and get some dogs. And then you go to Duff's or Anchor Bar downtown to get the wings. And then you have a heart attack on the way home.
Yeah. So. Is there a nightlife at all down there in Buffalo?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think there are more bars and restaurants per capita than any place else. Like, Buffalo has almost as many bars and restaurants as Chicago, and is probably 1/8 the size.
Oh, so
wow.
Cool.
Yeah.
Wait, you didn't explain it. So that you're in this parking lot, right? And
yeah.
Someone does it, and everyone's like, that's great. How does someone say that's great? Let's make this the tradition.
Because it's Buffalo people. They're crazy. They're insane.
As they're pulling the guy out on a stretcher and shoving him in an ambulance.
I'm thinking the reaction is, oh, yeah, that's nothing.
Hey, I got an idea. Let's light ourselves on fire and then jump on the table.
Add lighter fluid to the mix.
No.
And catch yourself on fire. We'll patch you down.
Yeah.
Don't worry. And then there's Pinto Ron, who drives this old Ford Pinto station wagon. It's disgusting.
Is he still doing this?
He's still doing it.
Come on.
Is he the ketchup and mustard guy? Yeah.
Yeah.
He's gone to like 480 straight games.
He's the guy that, if you've seen the videos, the fans cover him in ketchup and mustard in the pregame.
Really?
Yeah.
Every game. And then he goes inside?
No.
He cleans up.
No, he walks around the different tailgates, and you get that beef on wick, and you just take a dab of ketchup and mustard off him.
Well, it's more than a dab. It's the condiment facial.
So wait a second. So you're taking whatever food you have and you're getting your condiment from this guy on his body?
No. Well, you bring your own ketchup and mustard. But
okay.
See, now it's become such a thing. There it is. Take a look. We've got it up on video.
So you make
sure you bring plenty of extra ketchup and mustard so you can douse Pinto Ron. And
What's he do before? Is this before the game?
Yes.
Does he go home and shower? Does he just hang out?
They clean him up because then they show him in the stadium all cleaned up. But...
Oh, he goes into the stadium afterwards.
Yes.
Where's that guy licking his fingers?
Yeah. He just licked off.
Well, where's Pinto Ron getting a shower before he goes inside?
It's probably like old Comiskey. They got a shower set up for him, I imagine, by now.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
This is Buffalo.
And he cooks. He cooks food on the hood of this rusted old Pinto.
So they're like, hey, let's celebrate by jumping off ladders onto cart tables. And then there's this one dude. He drives a Pinto. Let's put a bunch of ketchup and mustard on him.
Yes. I think it's pretty creative. Okay, now, so you say Bills Mafia, they're a bunch of drunken slobs. They're a bunch of idiots. They're crazy. But look what they do. They donated to Lamar Jackson's charity after the Bills concussed him in that Ravens game. They donated money to Andy Dalton's charity after the Bengals got the Bills in the playoffs with a win a few years ago.
So they do have a heart.
Josh Allen's grandmother dies, and He starts this fund to raise money for a local hospital. They've got over $1 million in contributions.
It's incredible. Yeah.
From Bills Mafia. So these people are incredible. When the Browns lost their franchise, when Art Modell moved to Baltimore, the Bills invited the Dog Pound to Buffalo to sit in the end zone. And so there's kindred spirits there between Cleveland and
cool.
Buffalo. You know, it's that Lake Erie
thing.
So, yeah, Bills Mafia, although, you know, I'm not real big on the name. You know, you don't want to go there being Italian, but it's a phenomenon. They are the greatest fans in the NFL.
Are they the coolest fan base of the four left?
I would say yes, absolutely. Kansas City, I mean, is rocking.
Yeah.
You know, Tampa Bay, you know.
A lot of transplants.
Green Bay, of course, wonderful. So you got three of the four greatest fan bases.
The Packers own, the fans own the team. That's arguably the best fan base.
Tampa's lame. I said three out of the four are the best fan. Clean your ears out. All right. Jeez.
Listen, he's feeling chesty over here. His Bills are in the title game.
But you know what? I want Patrick Mahomes to be absolutely 110%.
Why?
I want him to play. I don't want to be backing in. I want to see what they can do. And I want to make sure Aaron Rodgers just completely outplays Tom Brady. We cannot have Tom Brady go to another Super Bowl. Please.
Isn't that the storybook?
I want Pretty Boy's little face to just freeze.
This is the Bills' tortured fan base.
Crap-eating grin of his, just freeze.
That's even better.
No.
Mark, you lost four in a row to beat the Chiefs and then to get the GOAT, the all-time greatest, who happened to reside in your division for all those years in the Super Bowl,
perfect
and to beat them, there is no better way you guys could win a Super Bowl.
Tampa?
Yeah, and I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't know the numbers yet, but obviously they're going to be letting people in the Super Bowl.
Wasn't that the same place as Wide Right?
Yes.
Stop.
Yes. Tampa, wasn't it?
I just watched.
Wasn't but Giants, Bills there?
Okay, stop.
Yes. You could write so many wrongs in Tampa against the GOAT.
I just wish that
his home stadium.
The AFC Championship game was the Super Bowl. That's what I wish.
And you know Brady, if he would lose to Josh Allen, he would not shake hands
probably
after
not. Yeah.
You know, he's hanging out with Drew Brees' kids.
Yeah.
You know
that was a wonderful moment. That
was
a wonderful
cool,
moment, and I had to give it to him. And I hated giving it to him.
Because he had given it to you for so many years.
It's the Hall of Fame embrace, showing a lot of respect.
When you win, though. You know he's not doing that if he just got eliminated.
Oh, he's on the bus. He goes straight from the shower to the bus if they lose. No doubt.
Yeah, exactly.
He's throwing touchdowns.
You're not
going to
see his
son.
You know that.
He's not going to give it to the young
cheesy
gun.
Cheesy smile on Twitter or whatever social media.
He's not going to go over to the ref and hey, high five me, smack him.
We need to do that this week. Down. We need to pick the coolest fan base of the ones left.
Let me ask you as well, Mark. Do you think the Packers or the Bucks are the better team?
Packers.
Why do you want to face the better team?
I just like this scenario. You know. I've been a Packer fan all year. I'm getting destroyed on Twitter, but I'm like, look, the Packers are so wonderful to watch. And I love
Aaron
Rodgers.
They're lighting up your favorite team or our favorite team.
Well, your favorite
team.
Not my favorite team.
So I don't care. Well, he is chesty as hell these days.
When did you become a Packer fan? When did you start rooting for the Packers?
Well, since Aaron Rodgers started. Hey, I was rooting for him with Brett Favre.
Have we missed this, Waddle?
I didn't realize how big a Packer fan he is.
You ready to cart this up? I love the Green Bay Packers. I remember somebody once said that on this radio station.
Right.
No, it's going to be an exciting Sunday, and that's why the NFL
pays
big dividends all the
time. You're
going
to wet yourself.
I am.
I want to know more about you, the way you watch a game, okay? Because as we were texting, I'm like, what's Gene Greco doing right now? Where is he? Who's he with? What's he
walking
doing?
Around in my underwear, just stomping around, yelling and screaming. You know, get a call from the front desk. You okay?
Yeah.
Everything all right up there?
Everything before every snap, Mark screaming, this is going to be a fumble. This is going to be an interception. They're going to throw a touchdown on
us. That's how you grow up. You know,
always expecting
the worst.
It's just
been happening.
And Mark,
I'm a glass half full guy.
There's more trash talk coming from another news team. toward your news team, and I want to see if we can pour some fuel on this fire.
Is this Wes Mantooth again?
I think
getting
so.
Chesty?
This is real life Anchorman fighting.
Okay, you're going to bait me now?
Yeah, yes, I absolutely. Am. This is, let me this, get, is, yes. this is a news team that you have fought with in the past.
Okay, let me get my medieval weapons ready for our street
right.
fight.
That's coming up next. The 5 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by the Home Loan Expert. It's a new year, time for a new mortgage. How much can you save? Find out now with my guy, Ryan Kelly, at thehomeloanexpert.com.
This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
So I was scrolling Instagram yesterday. I saw this posted there. That's how I found this out. I'm never up early enough to watch the WGN Morning News, which is very, very good.
Is that puppet show still on?
You haven't even heard the audio yet. Have you heard about this audio?
No, I haven't. It is a great show.
Why'd you call it a puppet show?
Yeah, because, you know.
Didn't you
take a shot across the bow?
Was it you versus Larry Potash, or was that more Ron Majors and Larry Potash?
I can't remember.
This was a few years back. Was it something about using a promo, or there was?
Oh yeah, it might have been. Yeah, I think it was Potash. They staged a promo to sort of look like ours, and they said, "How come I don't get to drive around in my sports car, and how come, you know, they don't do this and that?" Because we did a whole series of promos at Channel 7 where it was focused on our hobbies. So Ron's right. at the racetrack with his horses. I've got my Thunderbird. And, you know, we had, you know, other people just concentrating on their hobbies, what they do outside of the station. And so I think Channel 9 tried to do a takeoff on that. And that's the genesis of that.
No, wasn't it where Ron Majors like endorsed WGN News, and then they used it in like a newspaper ad without his approval?
Those things ran concurrently, I think.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, I think that's true. I remember that news story, and I also remember that Paul Conrad and I think somebody else, I can't remember, they waited outside the station here for me to come out, and they had a camera, and we did a bit. So, yeah, you know, it was all in good
right.
fun.
You jumped in because Ron was mad at WGN, and then you really went after Larry Potash. Well, this happened on the WGN Morning News.
Uh-oh. Okay.
What I said is the people at Channel 7 are nice people.
Yeah.
Their newscasts are just boring. That's all I said.
Okay.
Wow. And no, you say you think they think their viewers
boring.
Are stupid.
Oh, that's right. That's I said right. they yes. think. Their viewers are stupid because they're constantly telling them to bundle up if it's cold outside.
Yeah. That's it.
Grab your umbrella. Oh, it's raining.
I'm glad you clarified really? That. Send your email to Channel 7 now. They're the ones who think you're stupid. He's just pointing out that they think you're stupid. Yeah. You should be thanking him.
State and Lake right now. Let's go. Really? This is unbelievable. This is incredible. WGN, who purposely puts on the most boring newscast you could watch because their whole thing is Chicago's own, you know, the whole neighborhood thing. Hey, we're just regular people just like you. It is the most boring presentation you could possibly watch, except their morning show. Their morning show is really fun, but every weatherman in the universe does the whole bundle up thing. Every reporter, the reporters don't want to do it. The meteorologists don't want to do it. It's the news directors and the general managers who make you stand out in the snow and say, yeah, don't forget to bundle up. Check on the elderly. Hey, you know, we don't want to do that crap. Hey. And they do it, too. They do it just as much as we do. I love Tom Skilling.
It sounds but, like you know, maybe he's not you don't want to fight hey. Cap in a charity event, but maybe someone... From GM.
It sounds like
you know,
Larry Potash
is going, hey, have a nice weekend. We got some nuclear fallout coming in.
Did you call him Tom Skillethead?
Don't you remember Stephen Gary I think Steve,
okay, so you did.
I think Steve
right.
used to well, call him that. Tommy Skillethead.
Right.
It's an affectionate term.
It sounds it.
I love Tommy.
It sounds it.
Yeah, Steve Dahl used to call him that.
Yeah. So.
It sounds like you and Larry Potash have an issue with each other.
I have no issue with Larry.
I see Larry before the pandemic. I see Larry up in Lake Forest all the time.
Does he live up there?
Yeah, he and his wife are very friendly. We see him occasionally at the Deer Path.
I remember I ran into him at an Italian restaurant up on North Lincoln years ago. And he comes out and he goes, "Hey, this is my restaurant. This is top secret." I'm like, "Yeah, you
see, you have an issue with him. There's an issue there."
No, I think he's very good. I think he's very good. You know, probably a little full of himself, but he's good. Yeah, a lot of big egos in this business. You know, it's hard to find a regular down-to-earth person. Look, this is what you wanted on a Tuesday, right? We got nothing going. All right. I'm like,
bring your masks and your gloves to 190 North State Street.
Yeah.
10:35.
It's on.
Yeah.
It's going to be a socially distanced anchor fight.
If
that's right.
If the GN cast can stay up that late.
That's right. Yeah.
Whoa.
That thing got... He got out of hand in a hurry. Hey, Brick killed a guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think he had to go, what do you say, a safe house for a while. Wow. Like,
So what was your setup over the weekend? When you're watching a Bills game, are you alone? Do you have company?
I got the white Bills helmet with the standing buffalo, the old logo.
Are you wearing it, or what are you doing with it?
Just in my underwear with the helmet on.
Pretending that
then
you're...
I have Billy Buffalo, little mascot, like a bobblehead of him. And I got some pennants and stuff, you know.
So what are you doing? Are you rolling around in your, you know?
No, I got some wings. Pizza.
Are you pacing? Are you standing
sometimes,
up?
Sometimes, yeah.
What are you...
Sometimes I'll pace.
Yeah.
Do you have a lazy boy? I'm trying to picture
Are you kidding me? And you really think he's got a lazy boy?
Think he's got a lazy boy?
I got this big old couch I got to get rid of.
Does it have a lazy boy in his?
What's wrong with a lazy boy?
His beautiful
Naugahyde lazy boy.
What's wrong with a lazy boy?
Well, I'm just saying, Mark doesn't have one.
I do have the bed, the hospital bed thing that you can put it up and down.
What does that have to do with watching a football game?
You could watch the game in bed. Just jack up the bed.
Is that what you were doing? You were watching the bed?
Get an IV of sauce going. And,
just watch the bed and go up and down?
That's right.
I don't know anyone
If you don't want to watch, you put the bed down.
Yeah,
if it's down, then you bring the bed back.
3 o'clock. Let's put our pajamas on and go to bed and watch Bills football.
That's right. I used to have Bills pajamas.
We all had those pajamas.
I had Mickey Mantle pajamas, too. Those were my favorite. Number 7.
We'll get Larry Potash on the phone tomorrow for the second.
That'll be good. Can.
Bleck and Abdallah coming up next. Thanks to them for their help today, as always. Marky and Jesse.
What's that series he does? Backstory.
Who?
Something like that. Larry Potash?
I don't know.
He's got a leather jacket on, open shirt. Yeah. Backstory.
It's backstory.
It's exclusive.
This is going to last for a while, isn't it? More of this tomorrow, where Mark takes a swing at Channel
Mission
2.
Accomplished.
Well, why take a swing at them? They're so far down now.
Marky.
Step on them. Jeez.
And Waddle. I'm Sylvie. Black
and
Abdallah.
Help him up a little bit.
In 2 short minutes on ESPN 1000.
Channel 5 still on the air?
Tuesday night.
It's the classic.
I am really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.
And give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all a good night.